You're listening to the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. You are now tuned in to the Roto Experts.
This is the Fantasy Sports Radio Network, and we are the Roto Experts! Alongside the fantasy executive Corey Parson and Wall Street Matt Modica, I am Greg Sussman.
What? I'm checking the air temperature in here because I came prepared for Soldier Field, temperatures.
It gets colder as
okay, because I'm dressed appropriately.
It's very comfortable right now.
Yes, I've already had a wild morning.
Why don't you tell us about it?
Somebody leaped onto the track.
Did you see that person leap?
No, I didn't see it. I was more towards the back of the train. Yikes, it was a wild scene.
Why did they do that?
I don't know, Craig. I can't. I'm quite sure.
Remember, kids, hugs, not drugs.
Yeah, exactly. I'm quite sure somebody's having a tough situation, but that was crazy. Let's continue.
Okay. Matt Modica, good morning.
Oh, good morning. I didn't get much sleep, because that game went through the wee hours, but hell of a game. I want to check in on friend of the show, Dr. A. We may have to give him the Heimlich.
Yeah.
Of course, you know, people in Atlanta.
Dr. A be all right, though.
Yeah, Dr. A's going on vacation.
Yeah. I'm in Thailand. What happened? I'm like, what?
Yeah.
That was a wild one last night.
Yeah, that was, I agree.
And I stand by my tweet when I said that was a game-saving tackle. When that kid would have ran that to the house. And that was a great special teams play. I don't know what player did it, but some hit. Otherwise, that game is over.
I think you're talking about number 17.
Yeah, it could have been. I forget. It was some hit on him. I mean, he was gone, that kid.
He would have scored.
And he just came like flying, mm-hmm. made the hit, and kept him in the game.
It was a really good game. You know, it was Georgia up at halftime. You knew there was going to be Alabama was not just going to just go away. No. That was not going to happen.
But then when you seen the other quarterback, yeah. I was like, wow, that's a gutsy move right there. Like, that's a real big time gutsy move right there. A true freshman that has barely played any football. You put him in the second half of the national championship. On the road.
Against Georgia's defense.
Yeah, against Georgia's defense.
So I think about it, this, like, Nick Saban, number one, can do whatever he wants.
Yeah.
Nick Saban. And number two, he realized that Kirby Smart knew every trick in the book to stop Jalen Hurts. He knew it. He saw it, and Kirby Smart never saw this other quarterback.
No.
He never saw him, and didn't know how to stop him.
Little mini Marcus Mariota out there getting it done.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, he had a couple plays that were just, you know, the scrambling around, not getting tackled. I mean, if this kid was quarterback all year, maybe Bama doesn't even lose the game.
I know.
Yeah, you know, and well, guess what? He'll be here for the next 3 years.
So
he's got plenty of time. Nick Saban last night wins his sixth national championship, that is tied for the most with Bear Bryant. So you're wondering what Nick Saban has left to do. One more, and he's got the most in the poll era.
Yes, so.
I think Kirby Smart suffered from Andy Reid syndrome in that second half, not using Sony Michel.
Well, it's interesting because the first couple drives, well, we can talk about it when we can come back.
Sure. We'll do just that.
We have 3 hours.
Exactly. What we're going to do, we're going to break down the national championship game, also about the playoffs in general when it comes to college football, getting some NFL as well, MLB, NBA. We've got a fun 3 hours ahead for you, including the results of our over-under predictions from back this preseason. Get ready. It's the Roto Experts here on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
Did you know that you can listen to this show live on the award-winning Fantasy Sports Radio Network? Listen on the iHeartRadio app, the TuneIn Radio app, or download the Fantasy Sports Radio Network app. The Fantasy Sports Radio Network is the only totally free 24/7, 365 Fantasy Sports Network of its kind without a subscription. Check out YouTube Live on the Fantasy Sports Network YouTube page and participate in the programming there, where you can ask questions, discuss the topics with other fantasy enthusiasts, or tell everyone that you disagree. Call into your favorite show and ask your question. The number is 844-84-FNTSY. That's 844-843-6879. The Fantasy Sports Radio Network, your free fantasy source 24 hours a day.
national championship game in the books. And once again, you could have written this down before the season started.
What's up?
You could have written this down before the season started. It's the Alabama Crimson Tide are once again your national champions.
Nick Saban just first. Okay, let's talk about the those first two or three drives after the second half. I think Georgia was kind of shocked, and I think that's when they got away from the run a little bit. But then later on, as they moved along in the game, they started running the ball, in my opinion, a little bit too much. It was a lot of first and second down runs, and they were just slamming their defenders into the back of the offensive line and then going forward on, you know, trying to make a play on third and seven.
Mm-hmm.
The kid, the Fromm dude, has played good all season,
yeah.
But he was rattled in that second half.
Yeah, I mean, he was rattled, but you're going up against Bama.
Yeah.
But the thing, it's not that the run that I had the problem with, it was they went with Chubb when Michelle was just so much better.
Mm-hmm.
It would be like, say, Ingram wasn't having a day and Kamara's just doing it.
Yeah.
And that I don't get. Why go away from this kid when he's having so much success? I mean, the yards per carry in the game were just like...
Yeah.
It was one guy who was averaging 7 yards a carry. The other guy was averaging like two.
Yeah, and I don't know the reason for the scheme, but I know that they kind of... I don't want to say they froze up in the second half. They were a little shell-shocked when the freshman quarterback came out. I think it threw everybody for... when the freshman quarterback came in. Their offense did look the same, but I think they put them in a lot of bad positions where they were going against, where they were playing from behind the from the young freshman quarterback for Georgia, and then he just didn't have it in that second half. He was missing some of the plays. I thought the play calling was putting him in tougher situations that he had been in all season, and then Bama just got that momentum and just started rolling. So, but this goes to say what we talk about in the NFL with these recycled coaches that keep doing the same thing over and over again. You know how much guts it takes to put that quarterback in that game, in that position. Let me tell you something. You bench the quarterback. Okay, the kid hurt, sucks. 25-2. He doesn't turn the football over. And you benched him for a true freshman in the national championship. Imagine if that didn't work. Imagine what Nick Saban would have had to go through this morning.
Yeah, but he had to. I mean, I understand what you're saying. It's still gutsy and stuff, but... They didn't even have 100 yards of offense. Hurt
was 21 yards passing.
I mean, Hurts was just plain terrible. And he said after the game, the reason I made the move is I knew we had to throw the ball, and this guy could throw the ball better. So my thing is like, why not use this?
Why you start him here?
Oh yeah.
I mean, and I was happy to see Ridley make that catch to tie up the game. Mm-hmm. His brother was outshining him all game long, but that was cool. The brothers on each side.
Yeah.
I mean, if you're a fan of sports and you see something like that, I don't know.
That was cool.
I really enjoyed it.
Yeah.
To me, what was cool was, you know, that play to Calvin Ridley was on fourth down. And yeah. they call a timeout. And Ridley, like a real NFL receiver, I mean, he just kept going.
Yeah.
He just kept going. And Tua just... He just put the ball. Like, he threw him open.
That was a big time play right there.
Who are you?
Yeah.
If that was an NFL game, they would have kicked the field goal and tried to play defense.
Yeah,
that's the difference.
Well, yeah, and they would have lost. That was a loss. The football gods like it when you take chances like this, when you take risks, when you go for it on fourth down, when you do the fake punt, when you bench the starting quarterback. The football gods like that more so than you punting, you know what I mean?
Well, something I was going to bring up to you yesterday, and we never got to it, was in that Saints-Panthers game, going back to that for just a second, Sean Payton went for it on fourth down, trying to win the game.
Yeah.
And he threw it, and obviously Breeze intercepted the ball was intercepted. We talked about that part yesterday. But he went for it on fourth down there and tried to win the game.
Yeah.
And everyone crushed him for it. And I was like, I want these guys to win the game.
You have to do that. That's how you're supposed to play the game.
Yeah.
You don't play not to lose. You play to win.
Mm-hmm. I'm for going for it 90% of the time. But the Sean Payton play there,
yep.
I think with the defense he had
right.
and their offense, I'm punting. I'm going to try and pin them. Even if they get the ball to 20, they still got to go 80 yards. And I'm going to use my defense in that scenario. I mean, I do like the aggressiveness. But that I disagreed with.
Yeah.
But they were able to hold on.
It was an interesting contest, but you just, like, in that final quarter, in that final period, Fromm turned into Matt Ryan, took that real bad sack. I was like, wow, this is reminiscent to the Super Bowl.
Yep. Yep. And nevertheless, you know.
Shout out to the Georgia kicker, man. That
was money kick right there.
That was
51
big.
Yards in that situation.
And amazing that. Did you think he was going to miss it, the Alabama kicker? I thought he was going to hit it.
I mean, I was shocked how bad of a kick.
I had a feeling
was.
He was going to miss that joint. I mean,
that wasn't even close.
No, that was a horrible kick.
He got nervous.
Yeah, that was.
There's a great gif on Twitter that, like, as he was practicing, you know, they call the timeout. He goes and takes one final kick in the net.
Yeah.
And he seemed to go over. I was like, that's it. I go, I'm literally saying to myself, that seems unnecessary, but whatever. He goes and kicks one final kick in the net. Right, like, behind the net, to, like, the side, so, like, right in the middle of the picture, is one Alabama dude just, like, sitting there praying. And I was just like, nah, that's really giving your kicker confidence. It's so, like, athletic intern or whatever, just on the ground, just praying.
That was wild, but yeah, he shanked that one as bad as you possibly could. I think Buffalo Bills fans will be somewhere like, I remember that. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
that was rough.
At least the Bills kick was a lot closer.
That
ball went off.
That was not wide left. It looked like somebody threw the ball on.
Pretty much.
Yeah, it's like somebody was trying to throw the ball through the upright.
Yeah, I mean, I had to feel bad for Kirby Smart because, I mean, that was an opportunity. You had a national championship.
You did.
You could have beaten Nick Saban.
Yeah.
Your boss.
Yeah.
You had him. And as I said at the top, like, he knew how to stop Jalen Hurts. He stopped Jalen Hurts.
I'd have called, listen, that
and
second
Saban
half,
called
I'd have been, in the set, that second half, I'd been like, listen, we got to figure something out. Because that just, I mean, can you imagine being in that situation? Everything you planned for working perfectly, and then you're like, wait a minute, this is a... They put a new quarterback in here, a true freshman.
Who is this guy?
And then it's like, yeah, who is this guy? And he starts moving the football. I would have been, man, we got to get this kid off the kid. Like, it's got to be something, got to be done. So, find that interesting. That's, I don't know how you rebound from that at that point. If you're the head coach of Georgia, you got to just.
Well, that's twice for the head coach of a Georgia football team.
Yeah.
A little big lead in a championship game. You know, listen, the answer is how you rebound it. Look at the Atlanta Falcons right now. Right there, two games away, we can get back to the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
And they have a shot, right? They have a legit shot now to get back to the Super Bowl.
And then they're still going to have that big-time defense. Obviously, you see the lineage of running backs that come from there. So
quarterback's not going anywhere.
The quarterback's a true freshman. He's going to be there. You see the lineage of running backs. I'm quite sure they got a couple more in the stash ready to replace Chubb and Michelle, so they'll still be one of the top teams in the SEC.
It's actually amazing how many true freshmen played last night, right? Like,
that was the story of the game.
Absolutely. Like, the running back in Alabama, like, they didn't go to Bo Scarborough or some of the other guys. They went to Najee, their freshman running back. Like, what is going on?
True freshmen did get annoying after that.
Freshmen, defenders making plays, freshmen making plays all over the field. So, but, you know, I guess when you come into this environment in the SEC and you're expected to perform at a high level, they playing intense games like that every week, just not on the magnitude of being on this stage like that.
And the book got crushed because there was a lot of Bama money on the money line.
Yeah.
And at the half, they were looking pretty good. Then, you know, started the second half. And, woof.
Yeah. Georgia did cover.
They covered.
Georgia did cover, yeah.
And they went over. Joe Lisi was right.
Joe Lisi was right.
Shout out to Joe Lisi.
Joe Lisi won some cash last night.
But Joe Lisi said bet the Georgia money line.
Oh, you're right. But he did cover.
And the
over.
Plus the 3.5.
Who, Joe?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. That in the over, I believe. So shout out to Joe Lisi. I believe he's a Georgia fan.
Yeah, he is.
I believe early in the season he said that the Bulldogs would be playing in the playoffs, in the national playoffs. He did say that, like, week one.
Yeah, he did. They did. I think he's a Georgia fan also. And, they lost Alabama just like everybody else does.
Now, do you think that one of the owners in the NFL just calls Saban and say, here's a check, you fill it out?
$150 million? No. But
team is going to be desperate.
Yeah, but if you're saving, why leave?
I agree.
Yeah, you can probably get that money from Alabama.
You probably can, but at some point, I mean, when you get a blank check.
Yeah.
That's, I don't care how much money you have, there's always more money.
Well, it was just you. It was just you that was yesterday saying, why would he ever leave?
I agree, and that's why I'm bringing it up. It's like he is God in Alabama.
Yep.
I mean, he walks on water out there, but. It's just, it's tough. When somebody hands you like a blank check or is going to make you the richest coach ever, and maybe in the back of his mind, he's like, you know what? I want to go back to the NFL, and the last time I was there didn't go so well. I mean, I don't know. I personally wouldn't leave.
Right. You know, I think at this point, he's 65 years old.
Mm-hmm.
Six national championships, one more away from the most of any coach in the modern era. he's a god, as you said, in Alabama. And he has enough money, and he still doesn't pay for anything, because, you know, no one's going to make Nick Saban pay for anything.
Yeah, which is awkward. He has all the money. Yeah. And you let him get away for free.
Well, usually the richest people
pay for the cheapest least. People.
Yeah.
That's why they're the richest. So with all that being said, I once thought that, like, there's always rumors that he wanted the Giants job, and even the last time it was open, he had sent feelers out, and the Giants were almost basically balked at his number and balked at his requests. And
he might be asking for a lot of money.
well, it's the standard's been set. John Green's making $10 million a year.
Yeah.
He's getting at least 10.1 from Alabama.
Yeah.
I'll tell you that.
Exactly. Green's making $10 million a year. He needs to make 10.1 wherever he goes to make it worth it. And that's it.
Oh, yeah. He's got to get like a 10-year 125.
Right.
Something like that.
Correct. And that's the only thing that's going to make him go anywhere, I think. So there you go.
And then after that, he'll be like, I'm going to go to Nebraska. And he'll be like, what?
All right, so the Alabama Crimson Tide, they are your national champions. When we come back with the right two teams in that national championship, I want to talk about the playoffs in general. We're going to do it for YouTube. Should the playoffs still be four teams? Are we still doing that? Or should it be better? Should it be more? Is more better? We discuss on YouTube next.
Have you ever wanted to have a fantasy expert in the palm of your hand? Or better yet, in the pocket of your khakis? Well, check it out. Now you can. It's the Fantasy Sports Radio Network app. Download it now to your phone. We promise no weird viruses, no strange tracking things. Just 24 hours a day, 7 days a week of pure fantasy knowledge dropping all over your head. It's the Fantasy Sports Radio Network app. Stop being a weirdo and streaming it online. Get it on your phone. Take it with you everywhere you go.
YouTube. Welcome inside Studio 34. My name is Greg Sussman. To my right, it's the fantasy executive Corey Parsons. To my left is Wall Street Matt Modica. And the college football playoffs is over. The college football season is over. Your national champions, once again, the Alabama Crimson Tide. Nick Saban gets it done, pulling his starting quarterback at halftime and bringing in a true freshman and winning it all. I can assure you, Jalen Hurts cannot make that throw in overtime.
No, he would not have. It wouldn't have went to overtime if Hurts was out there. But 25-2 as a starter, the kid really turns the football over. You got to give him his props for that, but you needed somebody that was going to be able to make a play.
Win a game.
Yep.
Win a game. And it was Alabama versus Georgia, an all-SEC championship final in the playoffs. And when it was all said and done, I don't think people had a problem necessarily of the two teams that were in it. But just a couple of weeks ago, there was a problem. And the fact was, should it be the fourth spot go to Alabama or should the fourth spot go to Ohio State? That was the discussion among, you know, a few other teams. A team like UCF threw themselves a national championship parade despite being like ranked 12th before bowl season began. They finished undefeated. They won their bowl game against Auburn, and they considered themselves national champions. Gave all of their coaches raises, which is very nice.
Yes.
Even though Scott Frost, they didn't have to give the big one the raise because he was gone. Yes. So they gave everybody else a raise, which was cool. But even still, A team like UCF never had a chance to win and compete for a national championship. Ohio State never had a chance to go win the national championship. Auburn, who beat Alabama, right? Who wound up losing to Georgia. I think they beat Georgia the first time.
They beat Georgia in the regular season.
They beat Alabama, they beat Georgia, wound up losing to Georgia the second time. They didn't have a chance to go compete for the national championship. And yet, all the commissioners that make up the playoff committee, as well as the athletic director of Notre Dame, came out yesterday, and they're all at the national championship game, of course. And he said, we're good at four. We're good at four playoff teams. That works for us. We have no need to expand. What do you think?
No, they have to expand. And I think when the television money starts talking, I think obviously the decision to expand will be a pretty simple one. I don't think you go full NCAA tournament and put 64 teams in it and do it the whole month of January. But I do think it should go to 8 teams, add 2 more games to the bowl mix. Now, I'm one of the people that I thought Ohio State should have been in because I wasn't really impressed with Alabama's resume coming into the season. I mean, they had the win against Mississippi State, which they very well could have lost that game. They beat LSU, but they lost to Auburn. and Auburn was the, you know, the matchup that needed to win, in my opinion. But they were able to get in. They were able to get the job done after that, beating their rival in Clemson, and then obviously taking down the SEC champion Georgia Bulldogs. But I thought Ohio State had the better case to make it, but Ohio State didn't, and Alabama got in and won the national championship.
Reminds me of a couple years ago, Matt, where Ohio State makes it. People are like, wow, Ohio State, they probably deserve to be here, and they go on to win the national championship. What did you think about the four playoff teams and the commissioners deciding, you know what, we're good?
I mean, and honestly, I'm fine with four. I could do eight.
Really?
I could do eight. Okay. But if we do eight, we're going to have the same argument. The ninth place team is going to say, you know what, we deserve to be in there. Or we're really back to the situation we were years ago, where it was the AP vote and coaches, and you know, you had different national champs. Everybody, like people saying UCF. For me, I'm glad it was Bama over Ohio State that got in. I think you're playing the SEC. It's just a much tougher task. I will say, Big Ten in the bowls this year did very well.
They did.
But I think if you compare conferences, it's, you know.
Would you say, like, you look at Alabama scheduling, would you say, okay, well, they tried with Florida State? Florida State was trash, though.
But they lost this year.
They lost their quarterback on, you know, early in that game. Yeah, but they would have been any good anyway, Florida State?
Usually Florida State's good.
Yeah,
it's not like they.
And you got to also remember, they schedule these games years in advance.
That's true.
It's not like they're playing, you know. Yeah. What's it? Lane Kiffin's team. You see Lane Kiffin trolling?
It's really like the college basketball, they do schedule like about a year or so. Yeah. College football is like years in advance. And, you know, I always give credit to teams that schedule tough teams. Like Alabama will take on pretty much anyone, anywhere, anytime. They will. All the time. Every year.
But when do they go on the road or play big road games?
They go play in like Dallas, don't they?
But like, who are they? Like, they had the big road game to start the season this year. With Florida State, but that was a neutral site. When like I'm looking at their schedule, sure. And I'm looking at their scheduling, and I'm like not really impressed with
it. But they don't need to. When you're in
the SEC.
Correct. When you're in the SEC, you're going to Auburn every other year. You're going to Georgia. The other side of the SEC. But
is the NFL development?
Yeah, that's the NFL. It's the NFL JV.
It is.
Shout out to UCF. They had a fantastic season.
But shouldn't they have a shot at the national championship?
I think they should have in some way.
They're undefeated.
Should have had a shot.
They were a Division I program. I understand their schedule is not the
Auburn.
SEC or Alabama. They beat Auburn.
Auburn beat Georgia and Alabama.
So
if I had to pick four teams,
they wouldn't have been in there. But that's what
I would have taken Ohio State over UCF.
Okay, what if there's eight teams? Would they be in it?
Eight teams, I can make the case.
So the crazy thing was, as I said, if you had eight teams in this playoffs, they were ranked 12. They wouldn't have been in that either.
I think an undefeated team would have gotten in if there was eight.
But they were ranked 12.
Yeah, but they would have changed the rankings.
They could have found a way to massage that.
No, they had a very bad schedule.
They had a terrible schedule.
Oh, yeah.
Nobody. Did they even try?
Hold on.
UCF. Did they even try to go somewhere?
I do want to hear this.
Hang on. Here we go. All right. UCF football schedule 2017. Here you go. They opened the year at home against FIU.
That's the Florida school.
They defeated them, 61-17.
That's not the best Florida school.
They were then home against Memphis and Georgia Tech. Both games were canceled against Memphis and Georgia Tech. I assume there's some weather issues.
The hurricane?
Hurricanes, yeah.
That Georgia Tech is an ACC school.
And Memphis could have caused some problems.
I mean, yeah.
Memphis could put points on the board.
They then went to College Park, Maryland, to the University of Maryland.
Another power conference, you know, big.
They went on the road to Maryland.
They did go on the road.
But that's not really. I don't mean to, you know.
Sorry, Mr. Sussman, but the Frank Reich's not walking through that door.
Boomer Sinus.
Yes.
They defeated Maryland 38-10.
Yes.
All right. Yeah, their game at home against Maine was canceled. They rescheduled game against Memphis. They defeated them 40-13. Right. So they played in the AAC. At Cincinnati, 51-23. Home against East Carolina, 63-21. At Navy, 31-21. At Austin, PA, 73-33. At SMU, 31-24. Against UConn, 49-24. At Temple, 45-19. Versus UCF, 49-42. And home, or I assume in the...
You said UCF.
USF, excuse me.
USF.
South Florida. South Florida.
So that's
the most impressive one to me. Is the way they handled Memphis.
So that's then really the in their conference championship game, they played against Memphis again. And there was a double OT. and they beat them 62-55.
So they never got the game with Georgia Tech in.
They never got the game with Georgia Tech in.
They did try to play Georgia Tech.
Well,
Georgia
Tech any good this year?
Huh?
Is Georgia Tech any good this year?
But in
5-6,
that's going on the road to an ACC team.
In all honesty, that schedule really doesn't impress me.
They tried.
They went to Maryland. I mean,
yeah, they went. They went to College Park. They went into the Big Ten. They went to the ACC.
Instead of going to Rutgers, I'll give them that they went to Maryland.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
They need to schedule SEC opponent.
But they don't want to schedule. SEC doesn't want to schedule these guys.
Oh yeah, why would you? Yeah, why would you?
There's no gain.
Yeah.
You have to try and play some better. Look, I understand. I don't want to rain on UFC's season.
Yeah.
But to me, that's not one of the top four teams in the country. I'll take a one-loss team over that resume pretty much every time.
In the final AP Top 25 rankings, Alabama, of course, wins the national championship their first, followed by Georgia and Oklahoma. I think Oklahoma would have beaten Alabama.
Going into the playoff, I thought Oklahoma was going to win the national championship. I thought Baker Mayfield had it this year.
I don't think their defense would be able to stop Alama.
Oklahoma would have beat Jalen Hurt.
Well, then they would have pulled and so you know lost.
Just if you put UCF in the SEC or the Big Ten, what's their record?
Probably not 13-0. Or 12-0 or whatever they were. Okay, so Oklahoma finished 3. Clemson finished 4. That was, of course, those are your 4 playoff teams. They finished in the top 4. Number 5 was Ohio State, as expected. Number 6 is UCF.
Yeah.
And then number 7, number 8, both Big Ten schools, Wisconsin and Penn State, round out your top 8 schools. There's an 8. There you go. Number 9 was TCU. Number 10 was Auburn with Notre Dame. USC and Miami rounding out some of your biggest time schools there.
Yeah, I was kind of sad that the turnover chain
really died.
I wanted the momentum to carry on, but
they wasn't ready yet. They had that dynamic Miami secondary, that Miami defense that they always have.
Sure,
but the offense hasn't caught up yet.
It was good to see that night though. Whatever it was called, the Hard Rock Stadium.
That joint was jumping that night. That's when A-Rod was out there with J-Lo and they had a turnover chain. That was an amazing night of college football. That's the same day when Mississippi State almost beat Alabama. Yep. Same day.
That's when
that's when Auburn beat Georgia. Yeah, that same day. That was a hell of a day.
It was a crazy day. Yeah, we had a crazy day of college football this past weekend too. We're all top 5, like 4 of the top
basketball,
5 teams lost.
Yeah, including the Tar Heels.
Including the Tar Heels. Michigan State lost, just not when they played Maryland. They won by 30 and they played Maryland.
Maryland's got to do something great. It's on their basketball
side.
Who was it?
Gary Williams? You want to bring
him back? No, I don't want to bring Gary back. I can't do that.
Love Gary, but you can't bring him back.
So ultimately, guys, you're okay with 4 teams in the playoffs?
I'm fine with 4. I mean, look, if they went 8, I'll watch it.
You're in.
You're not going to protest it.
But I'm just saying,
you're take
if
a knee
we have 8, we're still going to have the same arguments we're having now.
I don't know. I think 8 is more fair, personally.
I think 8 is more. I think 8 is fair. But Madden does make a point. Then team number 9 is going to be like, why not us?
Of course. Oh, of course they're going to be. But I think 8, you get all the conference champions are in it then.
Well, I think Joe Lisi said it yesterday. You know, it's about the TV money and how they work that out.
Right.
Once they figure that out, you know, they're a little slow on this. You know, they don't, like, you know, get to the point quick enough. But next couple of years, I'm sure.
They also like to create controversy, too. Mm-hmm. Putting the Alabama in that's to create controversy. Well, they want this thing to be talked about.
Well, it's create controversy. Ohio State does the same thing. But Alabama's Alabama. And they know that. And everyone knows that. Alabama's Alabama. You put them in a Final Four, they're going to potentially win it all.
And that's exactly what they did.
And that's exactly what they did.
It's like if Duke was in there, you know, would you
correct.
Put Duke
and that's why Duke's
in
always that's why Duke's always number 1 seed. If it's like, oh, do we give it to somebody else? We give it to Duke, it'll always be Duke. Same exact thing. All right. We appreciate you watching and listening. Coming up, the King joins me here on the radio to talk about things that the King talks about, probably not college football. We'll be back right after this.
Playing daily fantasy basketball this year? Consider Daily Roto your go-to resource. Whether you play on DraftKings or FanDuel, Daily Roto's customizable projections, podcasts, strategy guides, and lineup optimizer will help you compete with the pros in a fraction of the time. With a team featuring millionaire maker winners and live final champions, there's no better place to get your NBA DFS content. Better yet, you can save 10% using the promo code FNTSY. So go to dailyroto.com/premium and learn more about our awesome product.
If you think of giving DFS a try, Fantasy Factor is the perfect daily fantasy site for the casual recreational player. Flatter prize pool, smaller fields, and metric sizes only. Fantasy Factor runs NBA and NHL free rolls each and every week. The free to enter. Sign up today at www.fantasyfactor.com. At 6 a.m. Eastern each and every morning, Fantasy Sports Today begins our content here on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network, and it's absolutely live. And the host of Fantasy Sports Today joins us right now. It's the King, Scott Angle. Good morning, Scott.
Good morning. Busy morning on Fantasy Sports Today. Today, my friend, a lot of basketball, notable injury to Kyle Lowry, bad night for LeBron James, and talking some esports as well. And for those of you into esports, don't forget the new esports show premiering tonight on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. It's 1-2 Punch with Zareen T at 10 p.m. Eastern.
Yeah, Zareen's awesome. I've talked to her a lot. She will be a guest on the BFFs coming up on Thursday, actually, to promote 1-2 Punch. There's a big esports tournament coming up. Zareen will be on the BFFs on Thursday to promote that. And, of course, as Scotty mentioned, 1-2 Punch begins tonight for those that love esports.
Yeah, you mentioned the big tournament coming up. The Overwatch tournament is starting tomorrow in Los Angeles. It's the first ever season. 12 teams across the country, and a lot of significant sports teams that we know have significant ownership stakes. The Crafts own the Boston team. The Wilpons have a stake in the New York team. And the San Francisco team has Jimmy Rollins, Marshawn Lynch, and J-Lo behind it.
Scotty, I do have to ask. The Wilpons have enough money to spend on an esports team and not enough money to spend on their own baseball team.
Well, it's actually like a sister holding of it's Sterling VC, which is like a sister holding of Sterling Equities.
Doesn't answer my question though.
Yeah, but look, I can't speak to that. You know, this is a separate venture than the Mets, so I don't know how one thing has to do with the other.
Well, that has to do with the other. It's the same owners are investing money without not their damn basketball team.
Well, I can't speak to the they're separate. One's a sister company of the other, so you know I would have to dig more into the details to see if one has to do anything with the other. I don't know if it does.
That'd be good journalism, Scotty.
Yes, it would.
Yeah, I mean that'd be good. I'd like to know that.
We might have to research it more before you question it, and I have to research it more before I answer.
Well, I don't have to research it more before I question it. I'm going to question it. You know, my job is to ask the questions on the program.
Well, I think that is a good question, but
thank you.
You know, when it's a sister holding of, you know, the Mets, I don't know how much it has to do actually with the Mets.
Well, and all I know is that you reported that the Wilpons are part owners of this thing. It has to do with the Mets, when the part owners are the full owners of the Mets, and they don't spend money.
Look, it's legitimate for
you
to say,
thank you.
But I don't know how much one business has to do with the other.
Fine. This has to do it when they have the same owners. That's all I'm saying.
What I'm saying is it's a sister holding. So, you know, it might be under the same umbrella, et cetera. But, you know, if they're separate from one another, you know, invest a certain amount in the esports and certain amounts in the Mets.
Right.
You know, how those two businesses play into each other.
Sure.
I'm not exactly sure.
Right,
you know,
of course.
This is something I could research and get back to you, but from what I know, Sterling VC is, you know, not the same as the Mets. It's
right,
not the same as Sterling Equities.
Yeah, no, I understand that. All I know, but you're absolutely right, of course. But the Wilpons, the Wilpons obviously are investors of both. They're not the same thing.
They're not the only investors in the New York team, though.
Right, of course. It would just bother me if I was a Met fan that they are investing in another sports venture that doesn't have to do with the Mets while not spending their own money on the Mets. That's all I would say.
Well, look, it's a separate venture.
I got that it's a separate venture. I understand that, but it still doesn't mean they're still not spending money on the baseball team.
Well, they're not the only investors either. So
you will literally defend this guy forever.
I'm not defending the Mets at all. What I'm saying is, you know, one thing maybe has nothing to do with the other. We don't know that.
I understand that, but they have money. Whatever, it doesn't matter. People understand our points. We'll move on from that.
Yeah.
In regards to baseball, though, it's crazy, Scotty, that it's January 9th, and seemingly no free agents have signed. Like, it's incredible how depressed this market has become.
Yeah, with basically, you know, we heard a rumor this morning about Garrett Cole maybe talking to the Astros, et cetera. I think a lot of teams are out there waiting to see if the price just drops on some of these guys. Like the Mets were talking, like all of a sudden there was a report from the Daily News that, you know, if the price continues to, like, if there's not a market for Moustakas, they might move on him. Mm-hmm. So it Greg Holland is still out there, and you look at the Orioles, they just lost Zach Britton for half a season. Holland came back and led the National League in saves.
Oh, yeah. I mean, Greg Holland was fantastic, and all these guys are fantastic, from J.D. Martinez and Eric Hosmer and Moustakas and Lorenzo Cain and Yu Darvish, right? Like, all of these people are out there, and every team is just waiting for the price to just drop.
Yeah, it'd be interesting. You saw with the Royals, I didn't know if they were going to retain any three of those guys.
Right.
Then all of a sudden, look, when they were going to lose Hosmer, they threw a better deal at them than the Padres did.
Yeah, you know, it's very, very surprising to me that this has taken this long. I understand teams waiting players out. Like, we see that every year with normally a Scott Boras player, like they'll wait it out and wait it out. Eventually, they'll get the money from the Nationals. But we haven't seen it this year because so many players are waiting and waiting and waiting. And that's what's really surprising to me, I think. Just how many have been trying to wait these guys out. And listen, the players have a right to get their money, and it's just really surprising to me that the market's so depressed. Like, I understand the luxury tax is almost like a hard cap, which is exactly what the MLB wanted it to be. I get that. But I do, it is surprising ultimately that, you know, so many teams are staying true.
Yeah, it is. And, you know, some of these guys, like, I believe, like, Holland is like a Boras client, if I'm not mistaken. But any of these guys would have Scott Boras as their guy. You know, they might wait until spring training to get the deal that they want.
Yeah, but, like, it's not just Scott Boras guys anymore. Like, do you think, like, the owners are colluding here, Scotty? Do you think it's just, what is the reason that nobody is signing?
I think the owners, I don't know if whether we can call it collusion or not, but I think that they're waiting to see, like I said, you know, if these prices go down. And, you know, if somebody's going to make a serious move on Garrett Cole, is that when the Yankees are going to jump in if the Astros are going to do something here?
Right. Even like the high – now all of the – everybody's face goes right back to the higher – the high market teams, right? The Astros, the Yankees, the Dodgers, the Cubs, the Red Sox, the Phillies. All these teams have so much money that, listen, they don't want to surpass the luxury tax, especially with next year, with all the potential free agents that are out there, your Bryce Harpers, your Manny Machados, your Clayton Kershaws. But if it gets so bad, and I'll speak from this from a Yankee perspective here, if it gets so bad, the Yankees are going to say, F it, we're going to take Mike Moustakas at $15 million for 1 year. We're going to take this guy at $15 million for 1 year. Screw it, because we have a chance to win it all now.
Yeah, and, you know, it's an advantage to a team like that, too.
Yeah. It's a huge advantage. And I think the higher market teams are now starting to figure that out, basically.
Yeah, look, some of these lower market teams might swoop in there too. There was talk about the Twins going after Darvish.
Yeah, well, and that was weeks ago, right? I mean, that was weeks ago we heard the Twins.
About a week ago, I read that, I believe.
Well, the Twins are desperate to go get him. I don't think he wants to play Minnesota. That's the problem.
No, it's not where a lot of big-ticket free agents go, but if the Twins were to sign him, that would make him more of a serious contender.
Yes, it would. But, like, all we sit here, and I was talking to Corbin and I about this yesterday, that we can sit here and speculate, and there's nothing to really talk about because nobody's signing anywhere. Like, we were saying, like, we're three of us coming up with content for the show. It's like, all right, normally at this time, we're talking about getting a little ready for fantasy baseball. Where are these guys ending up? New faces and new places, trying to catch everybody up after football. But there's nothing to catch people up on because nothing's happened.
No, it's an unusual time of the year in fantasy sports. That's, you know, I've been watching a lot of basketball at this time of year. You know, the coaching carousel is continuing to spin in fantasy baseball. But, you know, the NBA, very interesting right now. You know, it's like I'm keeping an eye on possible pickups like DeLon Wright, you know, now with Kyle Lowry injured. He steps forward even more. And, you know, I went to see San Antonio last week, and I was really impressed with Davis Burton. And then last night, he had a career game.
Yeah, Davis Burton was great last night without Danny Green and Kawhi Leonard for San Antonio. I know Frankie picked him up. Listen, Kyle Lowry's got that acute back spasm. We'll see how serious that is. To me, I don't know if DeLon Wright's the guy I pick up. You know, whatever any of these guys go out, I always pick up Norman Powell, and that usually works out okay for me. For me, If you're looking at a guy to pick up due to all these injuries, I look at a guy like Juwan Evans, right? Juwan Evans out there in L.A. With literally just Lou Williams healthy, has a nice full line last night.
Yeah, and, you know, the Clippers need a lot of people to step forward. It's like, as soon as Blake Griffin comes back, bam, he goes out with a concussion. And yeah. Gerald Green had a good game last night again, 22 points off the bench.
Yep.
That Kyle Lowry injury was scary last night, though.
Well, I mean, it's a back spasm.
Yeah.
You know, it's... Yeah.
The way he fell, though, you know. And then, of course, any time you see something like that, it's like he got up and he actually fell back down, so it was a little scary. He had to be carried off.
Yep. Ultimately, it looked like it was just back spasm now. Okay, Scotty, we'll do it all again tomorrow. I'll listen to Fantasy News Desk today at 3 p.m. Eastern.
All right, see you then.
All right, Scotty. Matt Modica joins me to talk some more baseball when we come back.
Have you ever wanted to have a fantasy expert in the palm of your hand? Or better yet, in the pocket of your khakis? Well, check it out. Now you can. It's the Fantasy Sports Radio Network app. Download it now to your phone. We promise no weird viruses, no strange tracking things. Just 24 hours a day, 7 days a week of pure fantasy knowledge dropping all over your head. It's the Fantasy Sports Radio Network app. Stop being a weirdo and streaming it online. Get it on your phone. Take it with you everywhere you go.
Here now, Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Chance to talk a little baseball with my friend Matt Modica. Corey, you can chime in as well.
Of course.
Yes.
Damn good song.
I'm starting to get I'm starting to smell the grass.
Don't play a stupid song.
Smoke them if you got them.
No, not that grass. Not that. The grass of spring training grass.
That's what I'm saying. Don't play that song.
Oh, no. Please don't ever play.
They got Don Burns. Doesn't know what I'm talking
the
about.
The whitest song ever?
Yeah, one of them. Sweet Caroline. And center field.
when I hear the sweet smell of grass, all I think is his stupid talking baseball songs.
Oh, you're talking about that one. Yeah, that's a bad one, too.
Yeah,
that's a bad one, too. But our specific center field is the worst song ever made.
It's bad.
Yeah, center field is a pretty terrible song.
It's bad. It's bad. All right. So, Matt, yesterday I asked you about Mikel Franco, and we thought it was a really good barometer of just a dude that, like, is going 10 rounds plus later at the same stats 2 years in a row. Today, I wanted to ask you about a forgotten Marlin. Everyone else, you know, Christian Yelich you hear about, and JT Realmuto you hear about, and the other guys are all gone, except for one, and that's Justin Bour. Last year, Justin Bour hit 25 homers with 83 ribbies in 108 games, and for a time, he was the hottest hitter in baseball. Him, Avaseo Garcia,
Thames.
Eric Thames, your boy, so karma got him. And Justin Bour was right there. He's hitting a home run almost every day. And then it all kind of got quiet for Justin Bour. Where is Justin Bour being drafted right now?
I like the 12th round. He's somebody I'm very interested in. I know everybody's on Greg Bird around that area. He's going, say, right in that range, maybe three picks prior. I'd rather have Justin Bour. I think he looked great in a Yankees uniform. You put him with that short porch in right field. Look, he has power to hit it out of any ballpark. He's proven that. Playing with the Marlins, he'll probably get moved at some point. There's going to be a team that will. Look, I'd like to see him with the Mets. I think he can do it in Citi Field as well. Last season, he finally got a chance. He still did. I don't think he had 100 at-bats versus lefties, but he got more of a taste of it. I think he had about just over a handful of home runs versus the lefties. He is a righty masher. But the fact that the Marlins just gave him that opportunity, he's got to stay healthy. That's been his main thing. I think he's a corner guy that can really help your team. I don't see him staying with the Marlins. So in the 12th round, I have no problem taking him. Power, but you need power. It's plentiful, which means you need to have more of it.
Ballpark factors, Matt.
Yeah.
More important to pitchers or batters?
I mean, it's going to depend. Like, say a guy like J.D. Martinez. Say he signs with the Boston Red Sox. Mm-hmm. I still like J.D. Martinez. Now, his power is going to go to right center.
Right.
I mean, he can hit it all over. And the one spot in Boston that's toughest to hit it out of is right center.
Sure.
But this guy's a proven 300 hitter. It depends on players. I mean, there's certain guys we can look at a Carlos Gonzalez over his career and the player he was at Coors Field versus when he left Coors Field. I mean, the splits are stark.
Drastic,
there.
Yeah. Interesting about Justin Bour, because I told you one of my New Year's resolutions was to be kind of more into the splits and kind of look into it. What I found super interesting, all right, versus a lefty as a lefty, 253, versus a righty as a lefty, batted 300. Okay, so he significantly worse against lefties. We probably figured that, considering, you know, he's a lefty, so it's harder. The first half, second half split, really interesting, I thought. So 77 games before the break, 289 with 20 home runs. 31 games because he was banged up. That second half, batted 290, so the average was good, but just 5 home runs. The power totally went away in the second half.
Well, what was his injury?
Yeah, no, he was hurt last year, so you have to factor that in. Here's the one thing with Justin Bour, if you want to just look at it. He's never had 500 plate appearances in a season. So, I mean, that's the thing. The two prior seasons to last year, he had very limited at-bats versus left-handers. I think he had 0 home runs. And last year, like I said, I think maybe he hit 6 of them. Okay? But this is a guy that has the power. He is going to get moved at some point. The Marlins are pretty much going to sell off every piece. They did a terrible job. Look, I get the Stanton thing where it was all about the money and they want to make money. Sure. But you should have got one top prospect.
Justin Bour's injury was a right oblique strain, so nothing like crushing. I'll probably go back to Justin Bour this year. For a corner infield spot, I'm cool with that, especially if you play the splits, not him against lefties. Take a break. I'll talk about some NFL when we come back. This is the Roto Experts Fantasy Sports Radio Network.